Morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Read a little bit from verse 27. Matthew 9:27. It says, "And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.' And after he had come into the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' And they said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'Be it done to you according to your faith.' And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, 'See here, let no one know about this.'" Amen. And then also, put your finger on Luke 16. We'll get that in a little bit. In Matthew, again, we're kind of going through talking about faith and different aspects of faith. And now we have this episode, which is, you know, a little bit, if you really look at it, a little bit different. And but it goes to one of these aspects of faith. And the idea of faith is, you know, a side note is, well, how does God answer our prayers? Or what kind of prayers does God answer? And in this episode, we see that here's these two blind men, and they come to the Lord, and if you look very carefully, they ask for mercy. All right, they just said, "Lord, have mercy on us." So they asked for mercy. In return, they were healed, and God, the Lord, you know, Jesus turns to them and says, "All right, let it be done according to your faith." Right? So they asked for mercy, but they were commended for their faith. You know, and so this kind of piggybacking on yesterday's devotional. Now turn to Luke 16. Very famous passage of the unrighteous steward. Right? I'm going to just paraphrase. I'm going to read the whole thing. You know, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. The steward was squandering his wealth. He was stealing from him or spending it loosely or, you know, however, you know, you want to translate squander. And so he called him and says, "Hey, you know, why are you messing with my money, basically? You know, why are you not being a good steward?" And so then the steward, the unrighteous steward, actually goes and he says, "You know what? I'm too old to dig. You know, I can't work with my hands anymore, and I'm too ashamed to beg. So this is what I'm going to do." So he goes and he settles accounts with all of his master's debtors. He says to one, "Well, how much do you owe? You owe this much? Well, just pay this much and take care of it." Goes another one, "Hey, you know, how much do you owe? You owe this much? Pay this much." And then he comes in and brings the resources to the king, right, to his master. And this is a very interesting parable because then the master, you know, says, you know, he praised the servant for what he had done, this unrighteous servant. Now, when you read the parable, you can't look at the lens of righteousness to unrighteousness, okay, because you'll never get the point of this. What Jesus is saying through this parable, which kind of links to what we talked about in Matthew chapter 9, is that this unrighteous steward, what he was praised for, what he really did, is he put himself at the mercy of the master, right? And so he understood how his master was, right? And so he laid himself, and he just basically says, "I'm just going to rely on your mercy." That's an act of faith. When we cry out for mercy, like these blind men, when you cry out to mercy to the Lord, that's actually an act of faith. You know, more than anything else, sometimes it may seem like, oh, weakness, you know, like, you know, we've all seen movies where, you know, the Avengers about to kill some guy. "Oh, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy," you know. And then, you know, depending on if he's merciful or not, either gets killed or he lets him go, right? I mean, this is a very common, you know, plot in movies. But that's not what the Lord's talking about or the writers of the scriptures there. You know, when these blind men, when they cried out for mercy, you know, they were basically saying, "Lord, only you are merciful, and only you have the power, right, to resolve whatever situation is going on in my life." You know, when we ask God for mercy, we cry out to the Lord for mercy, it's a sign of humility that we walk in. You know, it's not saying we're at the end of our rope and, you know, there's some desperation in there, but it's not saying, okay, I have no other means. No, when you cry for mercy, right, you're praying to a God who is merciful. You know, and so again, we talked about yesterday, answered prayer comes when you don't focus on yourself, but you focus on God. You can cry out for mercy, and it could be a self-focused thing. You know, you come to the end of your rope, you know, and you have nowhere else to turn, and so, but it's about self. But see, that's not what these blind men did. You know, they weren't there to, you know, appease their own failure or whatnot. They came and they cried out for mercy because they knew that their God is merciful. They knew that He is the only person on the face of the earth that you can lay prostrate before and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And only Jesus is able to extend that mercy. That's faith. And so when they came, Jesus says, man, because of your faith, you were healed. You know, and then this unrighteous steward gets commended, you know, because he knew, you know, yes, this master of mine, yeah, he's shrewd and, you know, he's got some issues and problems, but I know that he's merciful. So I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to lay myself before him as an act of mercy. And he was praised. Now, remember, he wasn't praised because he was unrighteous, right? Because he did an unrighteous thing. He was praised because only he understood the mercy of God or the mercy of the master. You know, and that's why the praise was afforded him. You'll never see anywhere else in the scriptures where unrighteousness is praised except in this instance. Because the issue was not unrighteousness. It wasn't the deeds. It was that this person had faith and believed that he can come before his master, right, in asking for mercy, and he received it. Right? I mean, there's something quite profound about, you know, crying out to God for mercy, but not because it depends on us, you know, or it's focused on us, but it's focused on the Lord, because only He is the one. You know, and I remember years and years ago when I was, you know, when I was a youth pastor, and I had been in the season of praying I was praying for my parents about something, you know, and then they're having a difficult time in Uzbekistan and all these things, and I was really praying for them. And as I was praying, this revelation came. And it was so simple, but it was so profound in my prayer life since then. And I just get this sense of, is there anyone on the face of the earth that you can fall on your knees and cry out for mercy except the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you'll receive it? I mean, you think about that, right? Is there any person, you know, even your parents or, you know, people in your life that you can be guaranteed that if you humble yourself and fall on your knees and ask for mercy, that you will always be granted that, except for Jesus, you know? But see, but it's not because, oh, I'm humble or, you know, no, it's because He is so merciful, you know? And when you place yourself in that position before the Lord, you are lifting up His character, you know, His mercifulness, His ability to be merciful. And then boom, God begins to move in our behalf, right? It's the same thing. It's faith, right? It's not a self-determination on our part to believe. You know, and that happens a lot, right? You know, people feel like, you know, I just have to believe. I'm determined to believe. I'm going to intellectually, you know, read all these things and do all these things, and I'm going to come to that state of belief. It doesn't work that way, right? The belief or the faith comes when you place your trust not in your ability to believe, right? Not in your capacity, you know, but in Jesus and Him alone, and because He is merciful. Because He operates out of that character, then we run to the throne room of grace and receive mercy in our time of need, as Hebrews says. So let's close our eyes this morning. I hope the message came through. I realize I probably need like an hour to really go through this correctly. But just ask yourself, as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, is your crying out for mercy if you do that is it linked or connected to your piety or your deserving of mercy? Or is it really a trust in God who is merciful? This is David, son of David, have mercy on us. And he says, all right, let it be done according to your faith.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Let's just begin to pray for our community and in this way, you know, our theme, the year of the impossible, right? Impossible is nothing. Let's pray for those things that we're crying out to God as a community for, and let's plead the God of mercy. Not because we deserve it, not because we've come to some place, but because God is merciful. All right, that itself is a prayer of faith. All right, trusting God in His mercy over us. And so if you have prayers that are impossible, I know there's prayers as a community and as a church. And let's just lift that up to the Lord and just cry out to the God of mercy. Let's pray over our house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay and Kennedy Road, for the Seymour Roadhouse Church, for Kowloon, and for Robinson Road. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the members. Pray that people's schedules would be open and they'd be able to come and really share. You know, that real ministry would really happen and real care for one another and genuine connections. And the Lord would really bless the times from, you know, the meal time as fellowship starts to the worship and the presence of God would come, and through the discussion that our minds and our spirits would be opened up, and then as we pray for each other that the Spirit of God would come and just minister to us. So let's pray for each of these house churches, pray for the leaders in each house church, ask God to really use them powerfully tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray for China. Let's ask God to continue to place His hand upon this country, and pray for ministries that we sponsor. Let's pray for the Chungs who had just had an incredible time here last week. And let's pray now that they're as refreshed and rejuvenated, that God will continue to minister to them. Let's especially pray for Sam, the middle child that came, 17, and he's not quite given his life to the Lord yet. And he has a couple of distorted views about God, and really ask for real healing to take place. And he's praying about maybe going to DTS. And so let's ask God to really open that door of his heart and do something there in that regard. And pray for Pastor Nate and Matt's parents, and as they get ready to host their spiritual warfare conference, that as the Lord is teaching them to pray and to intercede in the heavenlies, let's pray for equipping and protection over the enemy, over them, and for that whole region. Let's pray for the kids in Chichihar, that God would just continue to bless them Pastor Sam just came back, and let's ask God that that whatever He's established and done there would just continue on. And let's just pray for their health and their education, and the Lord would just really have their way with them. And so let's lift up these ministries and ask God to just touch. Let's pray over our building and our move and for our fundraising. Let's ask God to really bless that time for the pledges this Sunday and then the offering the next Sunday, that the Lord just really show up and a spirit of generosity would really begin to flow. There's a lot of momentum right now, and as a church, a lot of things are getting organized, and It's a really good season. It's just to see God's faithfulness be extended. And so let's pray that we would just all get on board, and the Lord would just provide for us. And it'll be such a wonderful testimony of just God's faithfulness. And let's just cover our move before God. Lord, we come humbly as a church, God, and God, we cry out for mercy, Lord. Lord, not because we're at the end of our rope, God, not because we've exhausted all things, Lord, but we come to you and cry out to mercy, God, because you are the merciful one. Lord, you are the only person, God, that we can fall on our knees before, Lord, and cry out for mercy and receive it. Lord, we come to the throne room of grace, God, and we receive that mercy, God, in our time of need. And so we thank you, God, that throne room is always available to us, Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, just continue to breathe over us, God, and continue to stir us, God, into the things of the kingdom. Lord, we ask you to watch over our activities this day, Lord. And Lord, we pray that every aspect of our lives this day, God, would glorify you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We bless you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. This morning we pray his best and his blessings over you. Please continue to pray, and then we'll see you tomorrow.